Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, Controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Purport. A Brahmana or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others. But if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should especially be followed by Brahmanas and Sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable prowess, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Some very important lessons here for all of us. We should only accept in our life as much as is necessary. Srila Prabhupada mentions significantly here that in the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. A very profound statement. All distresses are due to extravagance. Extravagance of any sort. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasize the principle of simple living and high thinking. Simple living means that we cut down the so-called necessities of life. Live as simply as possible. And at the same time, make our thoughts very pure and spiritual. That's high thinking. But instead of simple living and high thinking, people have adopted the principle of simply living and not thinking. They simply live for the sake of living, because they have been born and somehow one day they will die, and in the meantime they have to minimize their distress and increase their pleasure. Other than that, there is no purpose in life at all. So simply living. Shukadev Goswami emphasizes the bellows of the blacksmith are also breathing. They're also expelling air every now and then. Like our lungs do, they contract and expand. But does that mean that the bellows of the blacksmith are alive? So the animals and birds, they also mate and generate offspring and progeny. The human beings also do that. So what is the purpose of a human being living if one does not actually do something higher? If one does not engage one's thinking process in something higher than just these bodily requirements. So the principle of living according to one's need is very important. It has been said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need. But there isn't enough in this world for even one man's greed. So we may try to, you know, want more and more and more, but we are still never satisfied. That is the nature of this material world. That the more we have, the more we want, and nothing seems to satisfy us. And these are some very important points that Lord Vamanadeva is making and is further going to make. And especially we will see that when he asks only for 3 steps of land, Bali Maharaj thinks that he is quite unintelligent. He has come to the king of the universe and he is asking only for 3 steps of land. What a foolish boy he is. And he is only a very small boy, so his 3 steps, what can they cover anyway? So Bali Maharaj wants him to ask for more. And of course the Lord's 3 steps are sufficient. He is Trivikrama. His 3 steps can cover the entire universe, who exhibits wonderful feats just by taking 3 simple steps. Now the question of course arises, what is the purport of the word necessary? When we say that we should accept only that which is necessary, it's a tricky question. What is necessary for you may not be necessary for me. What is a necessity for you may be a luxury for me, and vice versa. So what is this necessity, this word? We should only use or gather as much as is necessary. Necessary for what? That is a question. Generally, when we think in terms of simple living for the purpose of spiritual life and ordinary spiritual activities, not necessarily Krishna consciousness, the other types of yogis would define necessity as that which is essential for keeping body and soul together, which means for being alive and somewhat reasonably healthy. But is that our principle as devotees of Krishna? It's very interesting. We'll consider this point a little briefly today. But the principle or the point that one should live very simply is emphasized again and again. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion has outlined 64 principles of sadhana bhakti, of devotional service in practice. And the 8th principle there is that one should accept only what is necessary. And then Rupa Goswami quotes a verse from the Naradiya Puran. Yavata syat sva nirvahaha svikurya tavad arthavit adhikye nyunyatayam cha chavate paramarthataha. And the same verse is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his purport in the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Raghunath Das Goswami, the first time that he comes and approaches him and says, I want to surrender unto you. And Mahaprabhu says, don't engage in this monkey business. Markata Vairagya. Markata means monkey. And Vairagya means renunciation. So don't try to be a renunciant like a monkey. You wait. Live in your worldly situation, but don't be attached. And at the proper time, everything will happen. Srila Prabhupada explains that Markata Vairagya is the renunciant of a monkey, renunciation of a monkey. A monkey may seem to be a very renounced person because he goes without clothes, he doesn't have a wardrobe, he lives very simply, doesn't have a home, he lives on a tree, he eats only roots and berries and fruits, but still his life is the pinnacle of sense gratification. You won't find an animal that engages more in sense gratification than the monkey. So externally, his life is that of a renunciant. But internally, he is constantly absorbed in sense gratification, and even externally, sometimes. So then, what good is this renunciation? This renunciation is also called Phalgu Vairagya. Phalgu means temporary. So the monkey's renunciation is also maybe temporary. So when people just temporarily become renounced or falsely become renounced, that's also called Phalgu Vairagya. It's deceptive. There's a river near Gaya, the holy place of Gaya in India, that is called Phalgu. You see, when you, it doesn't, there's some sand, you don't realize that there's water, and you walk on the sand and you go right in, because it's deceptive, there's actually water there. So this kind of renunciation is deceptive renunciation. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada also uses the term Smashan Vairagya. Smashan means a crematorium. When one goes to a crematorium, to mourn the death or to witness the cremation of a dear one or a loved one, then one is overwhelmed by a sense of renunciation and detachment. Oh, what a horrible world this is. We all have to leave and go. We struggle so hard in this world, morning to night, and then we have to, it's all taken away from us forcibly. How horrible this world is. Better to get detached from this. So there is a sense of detachment and renunciation that comes into one's mind, but it lasts only for a short while. We leave the crematorium and come back into our regular routine activities, and then we are back to our normal self, absorbed in the world as usual. So this Markata Vairagya, Phalgu Vairagya, Smashan Vairagya, Srila Prabhupada uses these terms synonymously. Rupa Goswami also quotes a verse to illustrate what this Phalgu Vairagya means. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubhihi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathyate. The meaning of this is that for whatever things that there are in this material world, prapanchikataya buddhya, prapancha, this material world is called prapancha. And prapanchikataya means all the things of this material world. So if somebody considers that the things of this world which could otherwise have been used in Lord Hari's or Lord Krishna's service, are actually things not to be touched. And he gives them up. Then that renunciation is a false renunciation. Vairagyam phalgu kathyate. It's called phalgu vairagya. Mumukshubhihi parityago. So if a person who is desirous of liberation, parityaga, he renounces those objects of the world which actually should be seen in connection with Lord Krishna, Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha, but instead gives them up, then such a person is called a phalgu renunciant, a false renunciant. On the other hand, there is the true renunciant, anasaktasya vishayan yatharam upayunjataha. When one actually uses something with a sense of detachment, and in this sense of detachment, one understands that these things are not meant for me, it's not meant for my sense gratification. And when one uses them only for Krishna's service, not for one's own sense gratification, then that is yukta vairagya mucchyate, that is called the perfect renunciation. So now we come to the understanding of what the term necessity implies. In the verse that I just quoted from the Naradiya Puran, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport and which Rupa Goswami also mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this verse really means that only what the necessities of life must be accepted and what is superfluous must not be accepted. And nor should the necessities of life be reduced unnecessarily. One should simply accept what is necessary for one's spiritual advancement. So this verse is very important because it gives us several points. The first point is, you should not accept more than necessary. The second point is, but you should not accept less than necessary also. And the third point is, that one should use these as much as is necessary for one's spiritual advancement. So the term necessity has to be seen in the context of what is helpful for one's spiritual advancement. It is not to be seen only from the point of view of what's necessary for the upkeep of the body. Meaning thereby that there are times when we may utilize more than what is necessary for maintaining the body, if that helps us in our spiritual life. And sometimes we may do less. But if it's necessary to use more, then we would use it, because it helps us in our Krishna consciousness. We may not actually need these only to survive. If it's just a matter of keeping the body and soul together, then we could do without some of these things. But we accept them because we may use them for our spiritual advancement. In other words, for Krishna consciousness. So the bottom line, therefore, is that our principle is not what's necessary for keeping body and soul together. Our principle is what's helpful for us to serve Krishna better. So therefore, the term Sva-Nirvaha, that is defined, Nirvaha means maintenance or subsistence, to subsist. So the term Sva means self. So self-maintenance or subsistence of oneself. Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary that Sva-Nirvaha means actually Sva-Sva-Bhakti-Nirvaha. So whatever is necessary for the nourishment and upkeep of one's bhakti, one should do that. One should accept that much. So the principle is not so much the body and soul, it's bhakti. This is our emphasis. And when we engage and we utilize the objects of this world, in the service of Krishna with a sense of detachment, not using them only for one's sense gratification, but primarily for Krishna's service, then that is legitimate and perfect renunciation. In other words, Krishna is not saying that there should be no sense gratification, for the simple reason that it is not possible to live without sense gratification. How is that? Can we live without eating? We can't. So the sense of the tongue needs some gratification. Without that, we can't survive. Can we live without seeing? Can we live without hearing? We can't. So the senses need some gratification. They need some engagement. They need some fulfillment. We cannot make sense gratification zero. But what the scriptures tell us is that this sense gratification must, number one, be in connection with Krishna. That means we should taste only Krishna prasadam. We should see as far as possible only things connected with Krishna. We should hear as far as possible only things connected with Krishna, and so on. That's the first point. And secondly, even then, even if we use it for Krishna's service, we should do it under limits. It should be regulated. We should do as much as is necessary for our genuine advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not otherwise. So there is a quota. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here that anyone who uses more than what his quota is liable to be punished by the laws of nature. Isha vasyamidam sarvam yatkincham jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjitha magritaha kasya svidhanam. So everything animate and inanimate in this world belongs to the Supreme Lord. And one can accept from this world what is due to oneself as one's quota, as ordained by the will of the Supreme Lord. And then one uses that, because that's our legitimate share. It is a share that is given to us by the Lord Himself. And that is our destiny. Whatever is our destined lot, so to speak, that is what we will happily accept. Because sometimes somebody may ask, well, we may imagine, we may think that this is necessary for us and that is necessary for us. So practically speaking, what's a guideline? Let's make things very simple. Let's start with what we have now. Period. Whatever it may be. Let's be satisfied with what destiny has provided for us at this point in time. And be happy with that. And in the course of our ordinary endeavors, if our destiny is such that we will get more wealth or more facilities, so be it. And if it doesn't come, then so be it. Ultimately, we are going to utilize everything for Krishna's service. So whether less or more, we can only utilize what Krishna has given us for his service. So this is the idea. But we don't unnecessarily try to increase things in the name of Krishna consciousness. We don't try to exploit the principle of Yukta Vairagya for our own sense gratification. The term sense gratification becomes an undesirable term in Krishna consciousness when we engage our senses separate from Krishna, disconnected from Krishna. So we have to be careful about how we utilize this Yukta Vairagya principle. There's a story that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say in his Upakhyane Upadesh. He would tell many stories. There's a series of stories that he told. Upakhyan means a story, an instructive moral story. Upadesh means a lesson. So he narrated many, many short stories from which there were many lessons to be learnt. So one such story that's relevant to the topic today is called The Family for the Gita. So one time there was a guru who advised his disciple to read the Bhagavad Gita very, very carefully and to make it the most important mission of his life, that he should every day scrupulously study the Bhagavad Gita. So this disciple took the instruction to heart and he went into the forest in the Vindhya mountains and found a cave and lived in that cave and started studying the Gita every day. And then when he kept the Gita aside to sleep or to go here and there for gathering some basic food and so on, he found, to his annoyance, that there was a rat in the cave who would nibble at the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. So he became very concerned about this. He said, in this way my whole book will get eaten up by this rat. So then what should I do? Yes, I should get a cat. So he went to the local village and somehow managed to get a cat from there. So the cat came in and the cat was happy to deal with the rat. So the rat menace was solved. But now the cat menace began. So he had to maintain the cat, and the cat needs milk. So then he would have to go every day to the village to get some milk and bring it back. And he said, this is too much of a problem. It's too distracting for me. I have to spend time away from my sadhana to go and get milk every day. But well, there's a solution. The solution is that I should get a cow. And when the cow comes in, then the cow will give milk, and then I'll feed milk to the cat, and then everything will be fine. But when the cow came in, then there was a necessity of feeding the cow. There was fodder. You had to do so many things to take care of the cow. Our devotees who work in the goshala know how much hard work is required. So then he thought, okay, then I need somebody because this is getting too distracting now. So then he said, okay, I should engage a cowherd. So he got a cowherd man. Now he had to pay the cowherd man. So that increased the complexity of his life. And then to pay the cowherd, he had to engage in some business activity. And he began to engage in business in the business group. And then he realized that, well, I have this money, and then, well, I need this establishment because I've worked so hard to make this goshala and then so many other things. So I need a wife now. So then he got married to a local village girl. And then there was a family. And then he had to make a big house for the family. And then the number of the family members increased. And then his business grew. Then he got a vehicle and he got so many things. And because the business expanded, he became a wealthy man and his property also kept increasing. And after some years, then the guru happened to see, let me see how this particular disciple of mine is doing. So he came in and he couldn't recognize the place and he couldn't recognize the person. He said, what happened? The guru was shocked. So the disciple said, oh Guru Maharaj, this is the family for the sake of your Gita. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that yes, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, one should not accumulate things that are more than necessary. And this principle is especially important for those who are living a life of external renunciation. But even for those who are householders, the same principle applies. So we have to deal with the material energy in so many ways. We need computers, we need cars, we need telephones, we utilize technology, we utilize money, facilities, buildings, many, many things. So one has to be very sincere and very honest and utilize only those things to the extent they are required only for Krishna's service. Even the association of devotees can sometimes be used for things that are not in Krishna's service. Being only physically in the association of devotees is not necessarily what we call satsang. We may, for example, say, all right, as devotees, let's go and watch some movie, or let's go to the pub or something. That doesn't become a satsang. That doesn't become devotional service. So what to speak of that? Even the ordinary things of life, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, or I need it for preaching, so we overeat. Or we do things that are actually harmful for us in the name of devotional service. That's not proper. In the nectar of devotion, in connection with this particular point, Srila Prabhupada mentions also that one should not try to do more in Krishna consciousness even than what one can actually cope with. Prabhupada says, for example, if someone says, I will chant 100,000 names a day, that means, let's say, many, many rounds, 64 rounds every day. It's fine if one can do it, but if one doesn't have the capacity to do that, and then one takes a vow, I will do this, and then fails to accomplish it, that's not very good. So Prabhupada says, therefore I have given the minimum number of 16 rounds at least every day of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then one should do this as sincerely as possible, as regularly as possible, without fail. So even our efforts in Krishna consciousness must be within limits. We should realize our limitations, our capacity, and do accordingly. Of course, we should also always drive ourselves to do more for Krishna. But we should also be intelligent enough to understand where to draw a line. Otherwise, ultimately, it will become harmful for our Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here the point of avoiding extravagance, and that this is the cause of our misery. The more we want, we just keep increasing our wants and needs, and then we multiply our problems. When we just spend, we have to, every time we have the desire to want or to purchase something, and this whole shopping mall culture is also ruining our simplicity of life, because when you go there, you're just mesmerized by all the vast array of objects that are up for sale. And it becomes so tempting to just pick and pick and pick and pick and put it in your cart and take it away. So every time we want to buy something, we have to ask ourselves the question, do I really need this? That's the question. We have to meditate, we have to introspect and think, is it really necessary for me? Do I really need this new set of clothes? Do I really need this extra, this new vehicle, this newer model of the vehicle? Do I really need this latest gadget that's come up? So this is a practical tip for actually restraining our mind, which may want to just flow with the tide of modern consumerism, which is against the principles of simple living, high thinking. The modern consumerist culture wants us to increase our wants and needs. High living and simple thinking is what the modern consumerist culture wants. So one has to introspect and try to live as simply as possible, saving time, saving money, saving energy for Krishna's service. And that is the principle. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Bharam udvahato vimudhan maya sukhaya. One simply increases one's responsibilities and burdens unnecessarily in this world. And this only causes more suffering. So Lord Vamanadeva's instructions are very, very useful for us, very practical, very important, and we're going to hear more from him in the days to come. So we should take these instructions to heart so that we can focus on our Krishna consciousness with one-pointed attention without getting distracted. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions.